Are you ready for this? It's Christmas! And ho, ho, holy shitmas! England have beaten India in India for the first time since 1985! We look back at the year that was and check in on the favourite cricketer you've never heard of's family in a very Rawnsley Christmas.
Wow, that was exciting.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Oh, oh, oh. Well, you probably guessed it's going to be a bit of a Christmas-themed podcast this this week. What an exciting day, Ross. What a historic day.
Yes, yes, yes. I feel like I've already received my first Christmas present in the England series victory in India.
Me too, Ross.
Ah.
You know why I know we won?
Yeah, how?
Because going back to last week's podcast, and this is really a reward for those of us who listen consistently.
Yeah, the consistent listeners. The listeners.
The podcast last week, we talked about juju and good luck.
Yeah, juju.
Juju and good luck. And I just wanted to read our listener the text that you sent me this morning at about sort of 4 a.m.
Okay.
I said, for juju, Ross, I predict an England collapse and India to chase 260 and 50-odd overs. All right, so you can see what I'm doing there.
See, juju.
Double think.
Do I want to have it? Will it happen? Will it not happen? Yeah, if I say this, maybe it will happen. And it did.
And then you say, for shiz, I reckon Root might get AIDS too. But he didn't get AIDS.
But he didn't.
He got 20 not out.
He got 20 not out. Cause that's because it's not offensive because I don't want him to get AIDS.
It's juju.
Juju.
Cricket juju.
And it's great to, you know, I hope you're celebrating Christmas or Hanukkah with your favourite juju. It's nearly the end of Hanukkah, isn't it?
I don't know.
Hey, look, we've already alienated most of the listenership.
Yeah, sorry about that, Christopher
foul
Martin
minutes.
Jenkins.
Anyway,
what have we got coming up on this week's show? We've got an entire review of the year, but not in a boring way. The 12 months of Christmas. That's what we're going to do. And it's going to be a wonderful roundup. But we're also going to look in on our most favourite, not so famous cricketer.
Matthew Rawnsley.
Matthew Rawnsley, what's he been up to? The Rawnsley roundup.
Some of you will have been missing this and thinking, where is Ross's guy that he knows on cricket that used to bowl left-arm spin for Worcestershire, who doesn't know that he's spying on him and trying to work out, not spying on him, looking on him and trying to work out what he's been up to.
I like the fact that you think looking at him is
looking
better than
on
spying.
Him. Looking at, just wonder how the Rawnsley is.
Not spying on him, just watching him and listening to what he says.
I just care what he's up to and how he's been and what's happening in his world. And I like to guess what he might have been up to each week, or I did. We've left it for a bit, but now we're back. I'm going to try and work out what Christmas might be like in the Matthew Rawnsley household.
I'm excited by that, Ross. But first of all, let's just focus on England-India today. And I think let's begin with the man of the series, Alistair Cook.
Oh, Cookie. Now, I said, rather humorously this week, that it's a little like, he's a little like Santa Claus, isn't he, Alistair Cook? Do you know why?
Why is he like Santa Claus?
Because for me, I wake up every morning and he's been working away in the little workshop that is the cricket field. And he's been making a great England lead. He's been setting up a great victory. I know that for hours and hours, he'll have been working away while the rest of us, the most of us, sleep. He's out there making runs for us, just for us. And when we wake up, there it is, like Santa's presence on a crisp Christmas morning.
It's very much like that. Although the thought of that bug-eyed, Lego-haired lunatic climbing down my chimney does scare the living crap
out
of me.
He's not a lunatic.
All right. Let's talk about something that maybe the commentators aren't focusing on at the moment. And the reason we're doing that is, let's be honest, we aren't going to be able to talk about the things they talk about. More with facts and stats.
No. Well, no, hey, we've got a few facts. I've got a few facts for you. Here's one. Let's focus on the stuff that people won't talk about. Broad and Bresnan combined took 0 for 299.
BBC already spotted that one.
Well, the BBC have spotted that one, but I spotted it too and I worked it
when
out
you
myself.
Read it.
No, I worked that out myself.
You calculated it before you read it on the BBC website.
I calculated
that's
it before.
That's a hell of a claim.
Hey, well, some of us work hard. Some of us, like Santa and Alistair Cook, are working in between podcasts to try and come up with fun stats for people.
What about the Indian players that have done good things for their reputation this time round? Because everybody's focusing on all the Indian players that may not play again. Tendulkar. can't even say his name right. You know, who's done well?
Tedulka. We can't be a cricket-based podcast and pronounce Sachin Tendulkar's name Tedulka. We've got to get that right.
I think after the intro we had today, you know.
There'll be
one hand clapping.
There'll be good letters about that intro, I swear. Good tweets. Tweet us. So Pujara, number three, young batsman.
Yeah.
I think he
went a bit off the ball.
He did go a little off the ball, but he ended up as their top run scorer.
By
a young man,
considerable distance.
By a considerable distance. And coming in at threes, he only got to score a double 100. He scored the top score in the series.
I think I read that on the BBC website.
Well, I know that. You can't get me there.
Do you think Kohli has come out as a player with his reputation enhanced?
You've used an odd term of phrase there. But do you know what? I don't think it was a good series.
Dhoni
for him.
Suggested as much but in his press conference today.
Well, I think he did after this test match because he really had his back against the wall and he came up with a great 100. It was very important and that's the sort of conditions under which he's going to have to score runs in the future.
Well, he scored a century on a pitch on which two other English players scored centuries in the second innings and Dhoni only was a run short. I mean, Peterson says that's the hardest pitch he's ever had to play on. Did it transform after Peterson got out? Or more realistically, was it in fact not so hard to play on?
I think it was once people got used to the fact that it was quite dead, and whether that was a tactic or not, something is going to be interesting to sort of look at. You know, people learnt how to get in on it. I do actually think they were probably all really good batting performances. I have to say the Ian Bell one slightly makes me think, you know, Bell is the absolute...
That's quintessential Bell.
Quintessential Bell. If someone else has already got 100, then he'll get 100. I mean, not to say the man's not a fantastic batsman. He looked great out there. God knows. He's our prize.
He does look great.
Show horse.
Yeah.
But...
ginger show horse.
Little ginger, lovely show horse at short leg. And that's a fact.
You're right. There was nothing surprising about that century.
No,
nothing surprising about trots either.
There wasn't, although it was just not surprising because he was back to his consistent level of excellence and belligerence.
He's great. He's fantastic. All right. So, what other Indian players caught the eye? Do you really think that Dhoni had a good series?
I think Dhoni probably had a bad series.
A lot of criticism for the way he captained this morning. Defensive field.
He had some very
praise in the first innings for his defensive field, and then condemnation in the second inning for his defensive field.
Well, you know, people talk a lot about people like Boycott and all that sort of. He was really having a go this morning, Boycott. He was brilliant. He was really taking some of those Indians to the task. Saurav Ganguly and Rahul Dravid. He's going, what's he called? The young guy that bought the bowler. What's he called? The bowler. Oh, you scored a ball. Yeah, that's the one. You want to get him bowling more. They were like, it was like they'd been called into the school office to be told.
To be told off by Boycott.
By Boycott.
When
they really
the
just asked him for his opinion rather kindly. They didn't have to.
I was reading Boycott's Wikipedia entry today. don't ask. And do you know, in the he did the Spirit of Cricket lecture once.
Did
the
he?
The Cadbury Spirit of Cricket lecture.
Wow.
And he said to embrace 2020.
Embrace it, did you say?
Yeah, all the people.
Wow. I'm sure he embraces it.
Something slightly controversial with Boycott today. One of our Twitter followers, Cap something or other, tweets old DeBell. Pretty good guy DeBell. We like him.
Yeah, love him.
You know, something alluding to Boycott's history of domestic violence.
Ooh. Oh. Was he convicted of domestic violence?
In France, he was, yeah.
He was he not? Does that mean we can't talk about it in this country?
No, that's right. That's criminal law for you. If somebody's convicted abroad, you can only speak about it in that country.
That's well.
Thank you, Ross.
Hang on, who are we talking about there who's come out with a good... Look, Dhoni has batted well at times. He scored an excellent 99, really turned the game around with Kohli. By the way, I think Kohli will probably be a future Indian captain.
Yeah, Oja.
A
word for Oja.
Oja was
taken in the series.
Oja's good. And in a way, Ashwin, you know, I think you were right, in fact. You called it at the start of the series. You said that, I don't think this guy is the leader of the attack. I don't think he's going to spin England out. And that's exactly what he didn't.
I'm glad you remember that, Ross.
I do remember it very well.
I now remember it because you've reminded me.
He doesn't.
And I'm going to tell other people.
I said that. We did also say that England would win 2-1, I believe.
Did we?
I think we did.
I think we're going to have to double check.
Well,
that.
We should double back on those pod blasts to make sure we're not blowing our own proverbial trumpets. But listen... what were we talking about?
We're talking about the Indian team.
Oja, Ashwin doesn't quite get enough revs on the ball. It doesn't rip it enough. Now,
like a Nareen. It comes out the fingers.
I know, but he just doesn't turn it enough,
so
one way or another.
To the bishop.
You'd still get revs on it. Either way, you've got to turn
it. Took a lot of wickets against New Zealand.
He did take a lot
against
New Zealand.
I guess we'll learn the value of that in our next tour New Zealand.
He's a good value cricketer. We said this last time. I think he ended with an average of about 60.
Yeah.
And
BBC Cricket website.
Yeah, well, there we go. But we still read it. He's you know, a good cricketer, and they need him in the side. Boycott pointed that out again. At eight, he's important. Ogier is a good bowler.
Yeah.
And I feel that Ishant Sharma is a good pace bowler as well.
Again, he reminds me of Broad. Mm. I watch him bowl, and I think you're a good bowler. You're not ferocious. You're not, you know, Michael Holding. Yeah. You're not even Glenn McGrath. You're just not terrifying in any way. But you could be, you know, second fiddle.
Yeah,
I think Ishant Sharma can go in, but he needs to have his James Anderson.
I think, you know, for what it's worth, I think a lot of there was a certain malaise in the fielding in India. There was some negative tactics, Dhoni doing one thing and maybe sticking to it when he needed to be a bit more sort of flexible as a captain. He's certainly a great talismanic figure. People call him the Beckham of Indian cricket, and people love him, but they were a little baggy for one reason or another. The fact is, they've got a terrific batting team. And for some reason, I think the big difference in the teams is that when we needed someone to stand up in that top six, they mostly did. India often didn't have that person under the pressure situation. That's not to say that they don't have terrific resources in terms of young Indian batsmen. And I think they'll be back in an absolute shot. I think they've got some fantastic players, certainly in one day. And I think a lot of those players will make a name for themselves on the test scene. But I think they're missing their main bowler. They're like three. Those three guys could be a really good support: Sharma, Ashwin, and Ogier. If they had a real wicket-taking bowler, whether that be a pace
bowler,
it's
like having Swan, Broad, and Panesar, isn't it?
Yeah.
And sometimes they'll do you a job and they'll get the guys out, but you need your guy.
Who's your go-to guy? Who's the leader of the attack?
Well, there's a question. Anybody out there who follows Indian cricket more closely than we do, and that's not particularly hard. Get in touch. Tell us, you know, who's
going to be the next guy? Yeah,
because you know, what about the chap who was opening in the first innings who got injured? Yadav.
Yadav was very good. Yadav, was quite a young guy, isn't he? And he could, you know, if he comes on, there's a possibility. I thought he looked
terrific. We love Pravin Kumar, but he's not that strike bowler.
He's not that guy. No, Pravin is a bit of a Bresnan, and Bresnan didn't perform too well. He's probably going to fall behind quite far back now, I think, unfortunately.
Tremlett's coming. Onions in New Zealand.
Onions will be back.
Yeah, and then, of course, Broad's going to be back as well. Yeah, Bresnan's got a problem. It's in his elbow. It's not in his heart.
Oh, he's got a great heart. Yeah. By the way, just to James Anderson, I've never said this before. He is so dreamy, the leader of the attack.
Thanks for that. Let's look forward to 2013, Ross. and a bit of prediction. Just before we do the review of the year.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yep.
Ashes, at home and away. Who's going to win?
Home and away. There'll be more of that next year. I think home and away. I tell you what, I can see a home victory and an away draw. You know, I think they're quite good, the Aussies. They've come back. They've got some good young players. I like Mitchell Starc. People underrate bowlers like Hilfenhaus. I actually think he's a really good test bowler. And they've got that Cowan, who's batting well. Also, you know, Warner's not looking too bad. There's some doubts about Shane Watson.
I'm gonna put it there. In the style of an Aussie, I'm going to be unequivocal. England are going to win both. Let me tell you why. I think Cowan's a very limited player. I think Warner can't hold it up by himself, and he's also too much of a one-day guy. I don't think Watson is going to make those centuries. Michael Clark, outstanding. Hussey could be really, really good, but that's really the core of it. The return of Phil Hughes at three is an enormous white flag to England. We've got a really, really poor technical player at three. Compare him to Trott. I mean, of all the things, Wade is nothing like Haddin, and he's nothing like any of Haddin's predecessors. Their bowling is better than we think it is. Hilfenhaus and Siddle are not the bowlers that we remember anymore. Exactly. And they've got this extraordinary strength where they drop their seam attack, pick another seam attack, and still do very well. Mitchell Starc. But, you know, this is still a team that picks Mitchell Johnson occasionally.
Yeah, well, Mitch Johnson is one of the great mysteries of cricket.
Well, I think their batting's weaker than we think it is. I think their bowling is stronger. I think we're going to win both.
That's a big claim. I'm looking forward to it. An early prediction. One of the predictions I made last year was that James Taylor would definitely get a century this year. That now can't happen. I'm very sad about that.
I'm sorry about that. James Taylor's sad about that.
He's very sad about that. But there was a terrific debut for Joe Root today. This week, rather. What did you make of it?
I didn't see much of him bat, but he's got to be cool as a cucumber. I sometimes think, though, with this cool as a cucumber thing, sometimes it can just be, and I don't know Joe Root, I'm just saying it potentially, can just be being thick. Can't it? A lot of people talk about, you know, he's completely calm and he doesn't seem to let the situation affect him. But some people, I mean, they're really gormless.
Yeah.
Like proper gormless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But hang on.
Almost being clever is like, is bad.
But that doesn't chime in with the theory about Mitchell Johnson, who's seen both as nervy and stupid.
Yeah, the worst combo.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Ross, we're running out of time. We've really got to review this year.
Look, I want to say this. To round off two conversations. What Joe Root, I think intelligent, probably your classic village cricket captain when he was younger. I think he's absolutely brilliant. You wait till you watch him. He looks great out there. He's this gangly, odd little sort of 12-year-old looking boy, but he's fantastic.
And I've just called him stupid.
And
I don't
he's
even
not
know.
He's absolutely know. He's very clever. Know. And next year, I would love it if we beat the... I would love it.
You've gone Keegan on
yeah, that. If we beat the Aussies home and away. I can see it happening, but I'm just being a little prudent. Maybe I'm trying to do the juju.
A Christmas roundup of 2012.
Oh, what day is it, sir? Why, it's Christmas Day. God bless us, everyone.
That's very moving, Ross.
Thank you.
Okay, Ross, give me a C.
Okay. In the first month of this year, England gave to me...
We lost in Abu Dhabi. Do you remember we didn't manage to chase 74?
We lost in Abu Dhabi. We didn't...
Chasing 140 when he scored 74. Do you
all
remember
those
that?
Years ago, that was around the time Shame came out, the movie.
Yeah,
so
I remember
January.
Do you remember Shame, the movie?
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Abu Dhabi. That was quite appropriate.
Hang on, so yeah, so we didn't chase 74.
We didn't chase 140, we only scored 74.
We scored 74, I forgot that.
Oh, they were dark days in January. Anyway, fortunately, there was February, Ross.
In the second month of this year, England gave to me
a 2020 victory. And of course, you'll recall that, in fact, Peterson was batting at the top of the innings for England against Pakistan.
He was.
And England won 2-1 in that series. Peterson committed to all forms of cricket at that stage.
Yeah, and looked rather better than we did actually in the World Cup for a moment there. We were going, oh, we still got it in the 2020.
There's no doubt in my mind that the absence of Peterson in that World Cup much more significant even maybe than the test team.
Oh, absolutely.
Brutal.
Certainly.
Anyway,
brutal.
Fortunately, March came around.
In the third month of this year, England gave to me...
Sri Lanka Cricket Development 11 versus England Development 11 at Colombo, 4-wicket victory. It wasn't strictly speaking England Development 11, I got that wrong. In fact, it was just England. But a pretty bleak month if you're an England
cricket
fan.
What happened in that game? Do you remember anything of
won
note?
By 4 wickets. Strauss got a century.
Oh, did he?
Strauss opened with trot. Strauss got 100, Trott got 101, just to prove the captain.
So Trotty had a good year. Of course, a great end to this series, in fact, with his 140. Ended up with an average of sort of about 40, actually, and Bell ended up with an average of 43.
Is an average of 40 or 43 any good nowadays?
I think it's good in one series. You'd go, you haven't failed that much. Over a long enough period of time, you want it to be up around 50.
If a good batting average is now 50, then sure. Surely getting 40 is the equivalent of having a batting average of, well, I don't know, 30.
I would argue
that doesn't really work.
Less so. I would say scores this series was slightly down, and I would say you wouldn't want to kick yourself in the face too much about getting an average of 40. I think when you're talking about, you know, lower averages, then, you know, set 30 or so. You know, Bell was averaging 20, I think, or less.
Which is only worth 12. Anyway, now let's move on to April, Ross.
In the fourth month of this year, England gave to me...
The first Podblast broadcast made cricket history. We've ignored England.
Yeah, that's not so... I did say, but, you know, the country of England gave birth to this humble Podblast, which surely has changed a lot in this country, hasn't it, since that happened?
Well, I don't want to ignore the cricket entirely, Ross.
No.
I can also add Sri Lanka Peterson century. One of the great attacking innings. One of three this year for him.
Oh, yeah.
Defining innings in one calendar year.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, we saw him score that 161, didn't we?
Yeah, Headingley, that's number two. And then you've got to say that his century in India as well took the game away. But of course, the pop blast. Yes, well, without getting too self-indulgent, May, Ross.
In the fifth month of this year, England gave to me
West Indies.
You weren't a fan of the West Indies. You didn't get excited for it the way
I got excited about it. But when people say it's not the same, it's, you know, it's just still something about a West Indies series. I'm with the people that poo-poo that. I think it's I think it's quite different now. Not they're not brilliant. They proved that later in the year. But at test level, they've got a little way to go until there's something of the ferocity and competitiveness of yesteryear about their side.
There's a problem with the West Indies tour as well. Great moment, Tino Bess hitting a century, by the way. Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
But the problem with the West Indies tour is I think it convinced Strauss to stay on for another series.
Yeah, and you think he should have gone, you already?
Well, yeah. Hindsight's a wonderful thing on that. I don't blame Strauss for it.
A little segue there. What are your overall impressions of how Nick Compton did? Average of 34.66, I believe.
Which, as we know, is basically the equivalent of an average of 4.
But again, it was his first series, difficult place to
play.
He's only
got that average because he got a couple of not outs as well.
Well, you know, if your brother Jimmy wasn't your brother, it'd be your Uncle Bob. But listen, he did all right, didn't he?
Yeah.
He certainly needs
Stick
another chance.
Stick with him.
For now.
New Zealand's made for him.
It is.
Not made for The Hobbit. Have you read the reviews of The Hobbit?
They don't sound good. We far be it from us on this humble podcast. Mm. Plot. And we haven't even seen it.
No, let's focus on June.
Let's focus June on that. Oh, I was going to say something about New Zealand. I was going to say something about New Zealand. I can't remember what it was. The home of... It was the England... I'll leave it. On the 6th month of this year, England gave to me...
West Indies ODIs.
And what was the highlight
ODIs?
Of those? Yeah, what happened in that?
Completely innocuous.
They were innocuous. We won though, didn't we? I think we won.
Yeah, we won. We won them. Gale came back.
Was Peterson opening the innings there?
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Yes, I think he'd come in.
This one we're going to have to delve into the stats.
Let's get the stat book out.
All right. Well, the stats are here. They are in. And I do believe that Peterson, by the time... I've made a fatal error.
If you're wondering why Alex appears quite quiet at this point on the podcast, he's down in the storeroom looking at this year's stat book. How's the stat book looking, Alex?
Dusty! Dusty, Ross!
Oh.
Dust.
Really? What can you bring? Can you bring us up an interesting fact from down there about the West Indies... ODIs in June?
I can. Third ODI, June the 22nd, versus the West Indies, was abandoned without a ball being bowled. And Peterson was not selected for that team. So there we have it. Let's move on. July.
That was very meta. That was like a non-fact. In the 7th month of this year, England gave to me...
Australia in Manchester. Doesn't really rhyme with E.
Why
but it's Australia, Manchester.
In Manchester.
The majesty of
Manchester.
Manchester. Anyway, 5th ODI. England did well in that ODI series, didn't they? That's what they're going to be chasing. ODI, next World Cup.
Yeah,
that is a project for the England team.
That's a big project.
Is 2012 the year that England got serious about ODI cricket?
Well, I'll tell you this about the England. I tried to think what that told us about this India series, about where we've come in that time. And I think it's been quite a transition period. We've got rid of a captain, which said farewell to a captain, rather, who's a very good captain, long amount of time. He had a terrific batting record as well. But we moved on, and for the better. I think we're in a much better place now. We feel like we've said goodbye to just a couple of the older generation. We're bringing in a good youthful side. And I think we're changing our attitude to ODIs as well.
The ODIs and 2020, so it's a young 2020 side about
to play
India.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there's some James Harris, for instance, been called up, but a Welshman indeed from Glamorgan.
Simon Jones today got a deal to play 4-day cricket. Glamorgan think he's up to
Welsh cricket news.
In Welsh cricket news,
Simon Jones was offered a 4-day contract by Glamorgan.
Is it even cricket news? Would it be at the top of the news in Wales? In Welsh news?
Yeah. And Sanseli Ogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogogog
August.
Ashamed.
In the seventh month of this
it's
year.
The eighth.
In the eighth month of this year, England gave to me Basil Dolavira Trophy.
That one really worked, didn't
that,
it? England really pumped by South Africa. Just absolutely pumped.
Pumped.
Really poor. Really poor. Mm. The nadir of the year.
Yes. Luckily, there has been a zenith, which occurred just recently.
When we move through the months more swiftly, perhaps we'll get there. September, Ross.
In the ninth month of this year, England gave to me...
2020 warm-up World Cup ICC. We played a warm-up game for the World Cup. We didn't do very well in the World
all that
Cup.
Happened?
Let's move on to October.
In the tenth month of this year, England gave to me...
Sri Lanka versus England at Palikele. Pleased with that one. Palikele. Pleased with that one. England lost. November?
In the 11th month of this year, her England gave to me
failure to select Carberry. And we could have talked about Alistair Cook's losing century, but we really focused on the failure to select Carberry. This is the Carberry Compton. Chopra was in the mix. No one talks about Chopra, the forgotten man.
Very podcast, pod blast centric, that comment. But, you know, we have to follow along with the things we state. We really were behind Carberry, but Compton has got in there and he did quite well. We've got to give him a little nod. Nice Christmas for him.
Well done to the selectors. Monty Panesar in the first test aside.
Yeah.
Bresnan.
It's been a good year for the selectors, do you think?
No, I don't trust him. No. Awful year. Awful.
He giveth with one hand, and with the other he taketh away.
December.
On the 12th month of this year, England gave to me
England and India series victory. Oh, wonderful. Oh,
we went with a different... I went... Regrettable. Three syllable, and you went... Did I go two... Or did you go...
I don't recall.
One of us went... Okay.
But anyway, everyone knows about that. Really fantastic achievement.
Just happened.
The boring question that everybody's asking, Ross, is it a bigger achievement than the Ashes win in Australia?
I think it was as well said today, can't remember who by, that there probably isn't the standard of cricketer that we faced back then in terms of the Pontings, the Gilchrists were out at that time, I believe. And I think it was a fantastic vision, very competitive. This feels just a little lukewarm. Even this last day, it's odd. We really sort of galloped to victory, or galloped to a draw rather, but it felt it was just a little easier than it should have been. Not to play down, you know, the fantastic work, particularly of I think James Anderson bowled.
Are they capitulated? Well. Is that what you're suggesting?
But they
is there a suggestion that against Australia you're never safe?
I think you're never safe. They've always got that spirit, and they've always you know, got this consistency. The sort of false or whatever mystery around the baggy green.
I think Australia's more hostile to touring. I think India has its own challenges, but no, Australia, it's the hostility.
Look, they're still, I'll say look, they're still a fantastic cricketing nation, India. This doesn't change that, obviously.
I want to go further than that, actually, because we don't really have time, probably, on this podcast to talk about the Rawnsley Roundup. We wish Rawnsley a really lovely Christmas.
Wow.
From all
we'll
of us.
Have to talk... But yeah, we'll get them in.
Rather than
Christmas
talk about
roundup.
Something esoteric like that, can I use the last little bit of this last podcast before 2013 to say something about Indian cricket?
Here we go.
And I don't think it's said enough. There is a major challenge to the existence of cricket. There is a battle going on. And if it wasn't for the Indian cricket and what it's done, I think that Test match cricket would die much sooner rather than later. I think the reason cricket is healthy and has a future is largely now in 2012 down to Indian cricket. And we're going to recognise that. And we're going to stop resenting it after a while.
Well, that's very strong. I mean, yeah, a lot of people go over and say, oh, no, they bully us. But they are at the forefront. And they're a great cricketing nation. There wasn't, to be fair, other than that, though, a couple of little silly moments, there weren't any sour grapes from the
Absolutely
Indians.
None at all. Their pundits were knowledgeable. Their pundits were gracious. And they were having to put up with a lot of provocation from some pretty, pretty smug English commentators. And I don't think the English would have reacted as well in the same way. So we're coming in just to the last few moments of the podcast.
So look, I think that was a terrific contest. Merry Christmas to all in India.
Merry Christmas.
A wonderful Christmas in India.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. A couple of 2020 matches before Christmas.
Oh, we'll have a chance to say hello to them again.
Maybe we'll get a bit more of Ross's radical reaction on that one.
Oh, maybe I will. Maybe I'll ramp up the radicalism, given that probably hardly anyone in this country will be caring about those matches at all. But they're keeping it alive. They love it.
They absolutely love their cricket, and so do we. What a wonderful year. If you want to share your thoughts about what a wonderful cricket year has been, thecricketpodblast@gmail.com.
Yeah, and just any sort of praise you have for India in general.
Yeah, at cricketpodblast.
Yeah, because we like India. I think there's sometimes reticence towards Indian cricket. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm so into it.
I like Sri Lankan cricket, though.
Oh, I love it. I just love cricket.
Do you like Pakistani cricket?
I love Pakistani cricket. Do you know, if there's one thing that's happened this year, I've realised, even more than ever, God bless cricket. Everyone. Oh. So see you next week. See you next year, maybe. It's Christmas time.
Tweet us!